Chuck Reese of the Bitter Southerner fame is mixing up something new, a podcast with GPP. It launches later this month, but in keeping with our repeal of prohibition theme, here is a sneak peek of Chuck speaking with cocktail historian and mixologist Tiffany Barrier. They met when Tiffany was mixing drinks at Twisted Soul and Cookhouse Pours in Atlanta to chat about her years on the job and representation in the industry.
When I got in this industry over 10 years ago, I wasn't really categorized as a woman of color. I was categorized as a woman. So gender was very important then, because this is a white male dominated industry. Being a woman was first things first. Like, whoa, that's a woman doing this? That was the shakeup part. It wasn't difficult. It was just not respected. I was looked at as like a cocktail waitress, or maybe she doesn't know everything. And then within the past 10 years, it was looked at as a woman of color.
Have you seen the field change and get more diverse, like more different kinds of people coming into it?
I have, actually. What's been really cool is that this has been a profession. This is all, you know, I used to be a bunch of cooks, now there's a lot of chefs. Used to be a couple of, you know, college kids just doing this to make some change before they got a real job, and now it's a real job. With that being said, some people of color have realized that, you know what, I can actually be in a hospitality or a restaurant job and it be considered an actual career. And whereas I've seen years ago, one of my uncles said it years ago, I can't believe you're in hospitality. We've been doing this our whole lives. Why would you choose to keep serving the people? And I'm like, because the people got to eat and they got to drink. I like people. I like food. I like Bev. It matches. Oh, you get really good money off of this too. It's a gratitude. The bittersweet, as we say, the bittersweet of African American history in the South is we were the help. We were the slaves. We did all the cooking and the cleaning, the raising and the cocktails. And so hearing how much food came out of it, that's how many cocktails came out of it. So knowing that African Americans had such an impact to the whiskey world, you know, growing all the wheat and the corn and the rye, along with all the garnishes that went along with it, that to me is the most impactful part of cocktail history. We not only did we know how to make the cocktail, we actually knew how to actually make the spirits, which was bourbon, brandies, syrups. We actually knew how to cook a liquid cook.
It was the night, not only when I met you, but it was when I met Dave Wondrich, and he told me, you know, I've got this story I can't write for anyone else about the history of African-American bartenders in the South in the 19th century. And I was like, please write that for me. And I think it was, you know, maybe a year later when we ran the thing. And, you know, since then I've learned so much more about that history. You know, and one person I've learned about even more recently is Tom Bullock, who I believe was the first African-American bartender to write and publish his own bar guide.
Yes, sir. It's still a question if he wrote it. He wasn't literate. His slave owner, possibly, even though he was slightly freed. This is around the time of emancipation. But even though emancipation happened, a lot of slaves didn't leave home.
Yeah.
Had nowhere to go. It's like a prisoner being in prison forever and then being like, okay, you can go, but he can't get a job because he's a prisoner. Speaking of that, I'm about to make that cocktail right now. It's been ordered.
Which cocktail are you going to make?
So this is one of my favorite cocktails. From Sir Tom Bullock himself. Get busy, Izzy. This is the late 1800s, and you're calling a cocktail the Busy Izzy? I'm like, yes. This guy is amazing. He is the number one in-house server of the house. He can cook, he can clean, and he can definitely make cocktails. And only a few things are really available. You know, here we are in the South, and you have your lemons, your limes, your oranges. Apples are a little different, but no one's making syrups at this time, you know. But you see a pineapple every damn where. Also, you got things being shipped in from the Caribbean. You're getting a lot of island flavors. Bitters are coming in. Absinthe coming in from France. Brandy is everywhere. Rye is plentiful. So this is one of my favorite cocktails. This is a little bit of pineapple gomme, which is a sweeter side of the pineapple, with some sherry, a little bit of rye and lemon juice.
My mouth is watering.
It's a Busy Izzy. I love making the drink only because It has all the flavors and the buzz that you really, really want. Meow. The busy
Izzy.
Just imagine drinking these drinks at this time in life. I mean, seriously.
Oh my God. Mr. Bullock, his book was called The Ideal Bartender.
Yes, he was called The Ideal Bartender.
This drink makes me want to agree with that title. All right, one last thing. One of the classic, widely known Southern cocktails is the Sazerac.
Yes.
What do we know about the origin of the Sazerac and who had input in coming up with it? I know it's a really twisted story.
It's a twisted story. Here's my whiff on it. Dr. Peychaud, a brother, a man of color.
Antoine Amadee Peychaud.
Dr. Peychaud. You came to this guy. This guy was like, he was like the Dr. Seuss of booze, they say. He was indeed a pharmacist, a.k.a. all bartenders were pharmacists at this time. And, you know, here he is serving you what he has. He's in New Orleans. He's got this cherry bitters. He's got absinthe. He's got sugar. He's got brandy or cognac or bourbon. The story blends. Again, we're drinking. And everyone would come to this man for a shot of it. He would serve it in the jigger. I don't think they had two-in-ones back then.
Yeah.
I think they kind of just had like a cup, the coupe, and a 1 ounce. And he'd make this cocktail in a coupe. And you'd come in and do a shot with this guy, and you'd walk out the door. It got you together. It was I wasn't there. I think I wanted to be. But it just got you together. It was a drink of all components that shared variety and flavor and balance. And a brother was doing it. And he was free. He was in his own little pharmacy. Swing door, hear the bell. Come in there. Look at all the elixirs and tonics you're going to get. But then before we go, it's like, let me get that quick shot of good so I can continue. Sazerac was the very first cocktail in New Orleans. New Orleans at this time was a pretty free city. We had a lot going on, but to be brown, or to be Latin, or to be French, or to be Anglo was not a problem.
Right.
And you came to the quarters, you came to the four corners, obviously, to share your trade, cross boundaries, high five, get drunk, buy a pretty woman, sell yourself, whatever you did, and it was A-okay. Oh, and there was jazz music the whole time, so...
Really amazing jazz.
Wonka, 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 na, 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 na. And you're bringing in Caribbean flavors, you're bringing in South America, you're coming off the cusp of the East Coast. It was the quarters. Dr. Peychaud showed it all in one drink.
Chuck Reese there speaking with mixologist Tiffany Barrier. A little preview sip of the soon-to-be-released Bitter Southerner podcast from GPB. Coming up, we'll hear about the restoration of Atlanta's Cyclorama. This is On Second Thought.